Says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the incorruptible word of the living God. Thank you that it is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. And if we will hide that word in our heart, we won't sin against you. So thank you for allowing us to come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and find the grace and favor that we need for help. And Holy Spirit, we need your help this morning to take this logo word and transform it into a rhema word. I step back so the Spirit of God can use me in whatever way he wants to be done. And I thank you in advance, Father, for signs, miracles, and wonders following the word today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Can everybody say amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Before I get started, if you are in physical pain in the moment, physical pain right now, I want you to stand up. If you're in physical pain right now, stand up. We have been getting people getting healed and staying healed. It's one thing for the pain to leave in the moment, and it's another thing to walk in permanent healing. Amen? So those of you who are standing, the scripture says, if two of us touch and agree on earth as having anything, we can pray and ask for it. And so the reason you are standing is because we're going to have some people to touch you in just a second. But I'm going to pray the prayer of faith because the scripture says, everybody say the scripture says. The scripture says that if we will pray the prayer of faith, that God will not only hear us, but he will heal those who we pray for. So if I didn't expect God to heal you, I would have never asked you to stand up. So all I'm going to ask you to do, when the manifestation of pain is gone, not by faith, I'm talking about it's gone, you check yourself. In fact, check yourself now. You feel the pain? Okay. All right. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do after I pray. You already sat down? Okay. It done started and we didn't get started yet. So those of you who are standing, once your pain is gone, I'm going to need you to stand up just like you're doing and then wave at me. So go ahead and practice. Wave at me. Wave at me. Wave at me. Okay. Now, don't sit in your seat and do that because I'm going to think you're waving at me and I'm going to wave back. I want you to stand. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going to interrupt your message. I want you to interrupt the message because when the Spirit of God is moving, there are people who are here that need to see God is still a healing God. Amen. Amen. So if you're close to that person, if you would just touch them in an appropriate place, just touch them. Touch them on their arm or their shoulder or whatever. And we're going to pray the prayer of faith. Father, we thank you. You said, lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. You said, by the stripes that Jesus took on his back, we were healed. So we speak to the pain in the body of every person that's standing up. And we say, pain, you must go in Jesus' name. And we just don't command the pain to go. We command whatever illness, whatever dis-ease or disease that may be trying to attack their body, we say, stop in Jesus' name. And we remove your presence from their body. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit sweeping through this room. Even those who may be watching online who may have pain in their body, we thank you for the manifestation of being pain-free in Jesus' name. Can everybody say amen? Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. you, Word of Truth Family Church, and those who are connected to our ministry, those who are watching online, for honoring me and blessing me. How many know it's a blessing when you are being honored? Amen. And I believe I'm good ground. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, first of all, I believe I'm good ground because our church is proof of that. But also, I believe I'm good ground is because my life shows that. Amen. Amen. The scripture says that by their fruit you shall know them. So God is not looking for perfection. Jesus did that for us. He's just looking for progress, as Pastor Mike said. Amen. So typically on a day like this, I'll normally talk about something that's pastoral. But I really feel led to do something different today. And so before I share what I'm going to share, I had a vision 2 days, let me see here. Friday, so 3 days ago. This rarely happens to me. I was praying. In fact, what was odd about it is, let me start my clock here. What was odd about it is typically I wake up early in the morning and pray. But it was about, I don't know, 1 o'clock when First Lady and I, we had watched a movie or something, and so we were going to bed. And so as we were getting ready for bed, I felt led to pray. So I just told my wife, I said, hey, babe, I'm going to pray. I'll come back. And while I was praying, here's the vision that I got that is prophetic. Everybody say prophetic. I saw our church, the building, as if it was in one of those, you know, one of those things that you shake and snowflakes fly around. What is that called? A snow globe. Well, I saw this church in a snow globe, but the things that were flying around wasn't snow, it was the blessings of the Lord. And what was interesting is everybody who was on the outside of the globe, when they came into the building, they got included too. And I saw people just coming in because the manifestation of the blessing of God was in and on our church. So I want, if you receive that, I just want you to hold your hands up, because we're gonna declare to the Lord that we receive that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that the blessings of the Lord make us rich and add no sorrow. Father, the blessings of increase and the blessings of fruitfulness and the blessings of financial debt freedom and the blessings, Father, of new positions and the blessings of the birthing of businesses and the blessings, Father, of healing and the blessings of the spiritual giftings being stirred up in every person. The giftings, Father, of marriage. The gifting of those, Father, who are dealing with trauma issues, and for years they have tried to somehow calm it down, but God, we thank you for the blessing swirling and swirling, that Father, our heads will swim for how much blessings are coming our way in Jesus' name. Say, I receive that. Amen, amen, amen. Watch and see, it's gonna actually happen. So if you're taking notes today, our topic is growing beyond your comfort zone. Growing beyond your comfort zone. And the goal of the message today is threefold. The first goal is to help us understand why growing should not be considered optional, but it's a necessity. How many know food is not optional? It's a necessity. Number two is to help us identify areas that keep us in our comfort zones and that prevent us from growing. And then the third purpose for today's message is to provide you with some practical steps that will help you get out of your comfort zone and operate in what I'm going to call the growth zone. Because, church, you may not know this, but if you're not growing, you're dying. Amen. So let's jump into our first point. And if you need the notes, just raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy of them. Our first point this morning is that God wants to make you. Everybody say this with me. Say, God wants to make me. Jesus wants to make us into what he has called us to be. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, I'm going to read that in the King James Version, Because I want you to see the principle that God wants to make us is found in this verse. It says, and Jesus, walking by the sea, which, by the way, can we give our staff a big hand clap for them just blessing me? And they sung all my commission songs. See, you, if you're too young, you don't know. You didn't know none of those songs. You didn't know none of those songs, but I was receiving them because I play them every day. Praise the Lord. And then for them to get first, I don't know what y'all paid First Lady. I don't know what y'all did to that lady to get her up here. But tell me what you did so I can do it. And then you got my assistant to come up here and pray, Keandria. Boy, I tell you what. We need to have Value the Visionary every Sunday. Okay, let's get back to the scripture. All right, here we go. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Let me just say this. My niece is here today. Stand up, niecey poo. And I have a word for you. Actually, I typed it down, but I think I remembered it. I'm just going to tell you that God said that your sacrifice of obedience is not unseen. I don't know where you've had to obey God and it's been hard, but he's saying your sacrifice of obedience has not been unseen, and he is going to reward you for that. So anyway, all right. So let's try to read the scripture one more time. Matthew 4:18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. One was named Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were casting a net into the sea because they were fishers. Verse 19 is where we get the principle from. It says, and he said to them, read those next two words, church. Follow me and watch this. He says, I will make you fishers of men. And verse 20 says, and so they went straightway. They left their nets and they did what, church? They followed him. Well, the word make, when he says, I will make them fishers of men, make is that word make means to make something out of nothing. It means to make a thing out of something. It means to make ready. I used to be in the car business. And when someone finally bought or purchased the vehicle, we sent the car to make ready. Make ready made sure the car was clean, it was waxed, it was ready, it was gassed up, everything about the car was ready. And so that word make means to make ready. But then here's a definition that I like. It also means to bring forth. This word make is also found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. It says, you shall know them by their fruits. If you're dating someone or if you're thinking about dating somebody, examine them before you date them. Because they should have some fruit that is visible enough for you to make a decision, even if you just want to sit down with them. Say amen to that. He says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Here's that word make coming up. Even so, every good tree brings forth what kind of fruit? Good fruit. The word bring forth is the word make. So God wants to make us into something, which means staying the way we are should not be an option. If he's trying to make us into something, staying where we are is not optional. Why? Because if we stay the way we are, it endangers our spiritual potential and our calling in life. I can't imagine where my life would be had I said, no, I don't want to do, God, what you want me to do. Amen. Listen to Isaiah 43:18 very quickly. It says, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new what? A new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Now here's what I want to do to verse 19. I want to read it without the punctuation, because we have to remember punctuation was added by the translators so that the scriptures could make sense to us. But I want to read it without the punctuation, because this is really how that verse should read. God says, behold, I will do a new thing now. Not tomorrow, He says now, and this new thing is going to spring forth, shall you not know it? Listen to the Amplified. Do not remember the former things. Do not ponder the things of the past. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing now. It is going to spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? And most of the time when God says he's going to do a new thing, we look for him to do that new thing outside of us. But a lot of times, the only way something new outside of us is going to surface, something on the inside of us needs to become new. And most people, unfortunately, don't trust the plan of God. And this is why we pursue our own plan. And there's nothing wrong with planning, and there's nothing wrong with pursuing. But you want to plan and you want to pursue, watch this, under the guidance of God. Isaiah 29:15 says, "What sorrow awaits those who try to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their deeds, their evil deeds in the dark. The Lord can't see us, they say. He don't see me dating this man that I shouldn't be dating. But he sees." Amen. He sees you cheating on your spouse. He sees that. Just because, let me tell you something. When I be talking like this, people be like, he just talking. No, I'm not. I be giving warnings. I've recently gotten some social media information or email of, "Pastor, please help me, because I've been cheating on my wife." I'm like, I don't know if I can. Watch this. He says, "How foolish can you be? He is the potter, and he is certainly greater than you, the clay. Should the created thing say of the one who made it, 'He didn't make me'? Does a jar ever say the potter who made me is stupid? It is impossible," say impossible. It is impossible for God to do something new if you and I are comfortable with the old. Amen. Here's the key to God making us. We must follow him in order to be made. Matthew 4:19 goes back. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Notice they had to follow him for them to be made. And if you also notice, they didn't just hear him ask them to follow him. They responded, because it says they left their nets and followed him. So what keeps a person from following the Lord? What keeps that? You know, because most of us be like, "Well, I follow the Lord if I really know what he wants me to do." The question is, what keeps a person from following the Lord? Here's the thing. It's when we deem that what we're doing is more important than what he wants to do. And see, in order for God to make us, we must leave our wills and we must pursue his will. We must leave our comfort zone and follow him into the faith zone, because that's what change is all about. It's about changing by faith. So here's the question. If God wants to make us, then how does that process start? Which brings us to point number two, and that is God wants to shape us. He wants to make us, and he wants to shape us. And if we're going to grow, guess it, growth is uncomfortable. Here's a take-home statement. Growth begins where comfort ends. If you expect to be comfortable and grow at the same time, that's an oxymoron, and you're not gonna experience that. In other words, there's no such thing as being comfortable. And okay, let's take a lady. If she wants to be pregnant, she's going to have to come to the conclusion that somewhere in that journey, she's going to become uncomfortable. Amen. Her body's going to change. Her hormones are going to change. Her belly is going to change. Listen, if you want some muscles, look at your neighbor and say, "Do you want some muscles?" If you want some muscles, your muscles can't grow without discomfort. First Lady and I, we know that working out is good for you, but we hate it. Everybody say, God wants to shape you. Isaiah 64:8, watch this. He says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, and we are the work of your hands." And the problem is, you and I must get on the potter's wheel, stay on the potter's wheel, for God to make us into what he wants us to. Jeremiah 18:1 tells us this, and then I'm going to demonstrate some stuff here. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, he says, arise, go down to the potter's house. And there where? There at the potter's house, I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working a work on the wheels. And the vessel, watch this, that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. Notice it was marred. Here's a take-home statement. Sometimes we must be marred before we can be made. And marring is not fun. You know, sometimes God has to break us down before he can build us up. Because church growth doesn't always come through blessings. It sometimes comes through breaking. I'm going to say that again right there. Growth doesn't always come through blessings. Sometimes it comes through breaking. And God can't use you until he breaks you, because the only reason we were able to take communion on first Sundays is because Jesus broke his body for us to be able to partake of it. So then that verse goes on to say, so he, the potter, made, there's that word again, he made it again another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came, says, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I want you to notice several things. First of all, God told him to go to the potter's house. Now, we know that that's a church name, okay? But I wonder how many people never go to the right house for God to give them the right word. You just can't pick a church. No. There's a church that God has for you, and when you get to that place, God will feed you with the food he has there. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And the problem is most Christians eat, but they're never fed because they're not in the right house to get the right food. I hate to waste an appetite. You know how you be hungry and then you do something crazy like eat something you've never eaten before? And let's say a coworker made you a plate and they say they can burn. And you open up the top and they really burned it. I would hate to waste a good appetite, watch this, on a poor dish. Amen. But now the potter has this clay, and the Bible says it was marred. And there's the problem. We come to the Lord, and this is what our life looks like. This is a Lego set. This is when he said the clay was marred. This is what he was talking about right here. And honestly, I have no clue where to start to fix this car to make it look like what it's supposed to be. You know why? Because, watch this, the design of the car is already in the heart of the potter. So I can try to do like most people do and try to put the car together. And what will probably happen is this car will not look like a car. It's already looking terrible. I don't even know what to do. And that's what people's life look like who don't stay on the potter's wheel. So there are seven areas, everybody say seven areas. There are seven areas you and I have to deal with to get out of our comfort zone so we can grow. Because you're gonna stop growing once you become comfortable. So here are the seven areas. I'm going to go through and try to go through them quickly. The first area, which is the big one, is the flesh. They all start with an F. And the flesh is just the old us. That's that non-spiritual part of us. That's the old man that still thinks the way he does before Christ. Because remember, your spirit got saved, not your mind. So the flesh part of us, sometimes it's just more comfortable to function in the flesh because we're used to that. So when a problem comes in your life, instead of praying first, you let your flesh function first. Let me see who I can call to get some help, right? Everybody say the flesh. And in Ephesians 4, it tells us in verse 22, he says to put off concerning the former conversation, put off the old man. How do you do that? Verse 23 tells us we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So the old man will stay and the new man will never surface until I allow that new man to be fed new information. Here's a take-home statement. The old man can only reproduce old stuff. How many used to smoke weed in here? Let me see your hand. Any? Keep your hand up high. Let me see. Okay. All right. I really think it's more in here than that. But it's okay. Do you remember when you stopped smoking weed? But, you know, you were freshly delivered. And you were somewhere and someone lit up a joint. You know the smell of weed, right? And boy, it did something on the inside of you. It's like, oh, what it did, even though you don't want to smoke it no more, it took you back. So, because all you can remember now are the good times you was having while you was high. Right? Everybody say, that's the flesh right there. That's the flesh. So, if you're going to grow, you got to deal with your flesh. Here's the second area, is you have to deal with your fears. What are you so fearful about that's keeping you from trusting God? Amen. What are you so fearful about that's keeping you from changing? Here's the question. What are you hiding from? What are you hiding behind? 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 20, it says this. And when Samuel had, let me just say this, they were looking for another king. God told them the process to use. And so Samuel, who was the prophet, was going through this process. In verse 20, it says, and when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he called the tribe of Benjamin to come near by families, the family of Matri was taken. And then Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen or taken. And when they looked for him, they couldn't find him. Verse 22. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord and they said, Lord, where is this man? And the Lord answered them and said, behold, he has hid himself among the stuff. I wonder what stuff you hiding behind. Listen to that in the New Living Translation. It says in verse 22, so they asked the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. What baggage are you hiding behind? What? Look at your neighbor and say, what's your baggage? No, people hide behind baggage all the time. You know, some people dress up because that's the only way that they accept themselves by the finished look. They're not okay with the raw look. Amen. Most people are hiding behind stuff to avoid next level growth. That's what Saul was doing. He was being called to be the next king, but he's hiding behind stuff because he's not ready to accept the call of God. And I wonder how many of us are hiding behind some things because we're not ready to say that next level yes. Amen. And let me tell you how long-term Christians hide behind stuff. Touch your neighbor and say, this is for the long-term Christian. This is for the spiritual people. See, spiritual people, They have learned to hide behind things like their giftings and their callings. So what they do is they hide behind their giftings and their abilities so people won't see their insecurities. Amen. These are super spiritual people, right? These are praise the Lord people. You meet them on the street. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm great. Praise the Lord. How are you? Glory to God. Right? These type of people, they're like vampires because they get their life from functioning in their giftings. See, the problem with that is they're functioning in their giftings. Watch this. But they're using their giftings to hide behind the things that have impacted them. Say amen to that. These are people who are spiritually tuned in, watch this, but they are emotionally immature. See, what happens is when people hide behind their spiritual giftings, two things happen. The first thing that happens is their giftings get perfected, but their souls don't. Are you all listening to me? See, what happens is, if you're real spiritual, you know, you. When I say spiritual, I mean you've learned how to flow in the things of the Spirit. You can discern and you can prophesy, you can pray, you all of that, right? The problem is, if you hide behind those things, as you use your giftings, you get better at them, right? That's what practice does. The problem is, if you're hiding behind those things, your gift is being perfected, but your soul is being defected. Here's the second thing that happens. Their giftings get contaminated. The very thing that God has given them, the very thing that they're hiding behind, that thing gets contaminated because their souls are not being renovated. You say, what do you mean by that? See, your soul and your spirit are so close to each other. So what happens is, if you're hiding behind your gifting, okay, and your soul is still needs some management, it's being neglected because you're hiding behind the gift so that your damaged soul won't be viewed. So what ends up happening is, your soul and your spirit are so close that you don't even know that your soul is contaminated the use of your spirit. So sometimes you think it's discernment. It's just nosiness. Amen. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates as far as the division, watch this, of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person, and of the joints and marrow, and the deepest parts of our nature. It exposes and judges the very thoughts and intentions of our hearts. So what happens is, a very spiritual person will hide behind their giftings. They'll hide behind their ability to teach. Or in some cases, that's why pastors can get up here and preach, because they're gifted to do it, but their soul life is raggedy. And people like that, watch this now, touch your neighbor and say, he's getting ready to hit you in the stomach. People like that, super spiritual, they think that dormancy means delivered. You say, what do you mean by that? See, just because something isn't moving doesn't mean it's dead. So that trauma that you went through that you think is dead, no, it's not dead, it's dormant. And all it's going to take is the right response from a saint. Now that super spiritual person, because their soul hasn't been developed, because they won't let nothing in to do that, you know what happens to people like that? Then all the other things that happened starts happening. Like, now they're offended. Like, oh man, they hurt me. Touch your neighbor and say, who is he talking to? Okay, let me get off of that. Here's the next one. Did y'all get the point though? Here's the third area that we have to deal with if we're going to grow. Your feelings. Now, these are our emotional responses that come from our thoughts, our experiences, and our perceptions. And you can't walk by feelings and faith at the same time, church. You can't do it. Okay? Here's the fourth one. It's failures. This was big. And see, here's the thing about failing is if you don't have a spiritual or a biblical perspective on failures, you will allow what you went through to define you instead of refine you. Because the biblical perspective of our past should come from the Word. The Word says He's going to work it together for good, right? Yes. So failing doesn't make me a failure. The Bible says a good man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. And unresolved failures will keep you in the comfort zone because who wants to fail twice? So now you have people, they are allowing their failures to keep them in the comfort zone from moving forward, because if you don't watch it, even your failures, the devil will use it and tell you you're not worthy to be used by God. Here's the fourth, number five, is familiarity. And this is the condition of being so accustomed to something or someone that it feels common. In other words, being familiar can bring this form of comfort of or complacency where you're like, I'm good. It's easy to get familiar in a marital relationship where you just, you know, this morning, First Lady got in the car before I got in the car, okay, because I had to cut the alarm on all that. So her door was open while we were in the garage. So after I got in the garage, I went around to her door and I closed it, right? And she was like, oh, no, babe, I just had the door open because I didn't want to get hot inside the car. Well, the point is, I always close the door, right? Being familiar says, well, she know how to close her own door. She got two hands. He know how to come get his plate. I took the time to cook the food. I mean, my God, am I Alice, the robot, or maid? Amen. If familiarity is not addressed, you will stay when God is ready to move. In other words, you would rather stay with the crowd instead of following the cloud. Here's a take-home statement. You can't grow from what you already know. Do you know most people feel like the knowledge that they have is enough to change their life? No, I can know that a car will take me from here to my house, but if I never get in the car and drive it, all I have is some knowledge. And this is people who say, I know what's going on. I know I need to change. When you gonna change? Look at your neighbor and say, when you gonna change? Okay, here's number six very quickly. With friends, these are areas that will keep us in our comfort zone and keep us from growing. Because who we choose to do life with consistently or hang out with, or what we call these days our associates, can keep us in our comfort zone. See, people are like elevators. They'll take you up, but they can also take you down. And a good friend, well, they don't want to see you go through nothing. They don't want to see you experience pain or go through some tough times. But the problem with that is no pain, no gain. I mean, even Jesus had to rebuke his friends, his disciples, because they was trying to keep him, watch this, from experiencing pain for him to get to the next level. And church, let me tell you something. Some pain, I'm feeling this right now, some pain has been assigned to you. No. It's been assigned to you. It's almost like Paul. Paul said, I prayed three times. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. There is some pain that has been assigned to you. And listen, it should be a sign to you that you need to depend on God. Here's the number seven, and that is frustrations. You gotta deal with your frustrations, because frustrations will make you quit. Well, quitting is a form of comfort. I don't want to keep moving. I'm done. I quit. Well, watch this now. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 talks about this, because it is the feelings of irritation and discouragement that makes people want to quit. And quitters never grow, and those who grow never quit. Philippians 3 says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, watch what he says, I forget what lies behind me, and I'm reaching forward to what lies ahead. Watch this. I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God. Now, I want you to, I'm going to read Philippians 4:13, because the only way you and I are going to grow is we have to be intentional. Say intentional. Philippians 4:13. Most people read it correctly, but they think about it incorrectly. Let's read it first correctly. Philippians 4:13, let's read it together in the King James. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, you and I can grow. We can do how many things? Okay, so we actually read the verse right, but most of us think the verse wrong. Here's how we think that verse. I can do all things through me because I have the strength. That's typically how we think. The Bible says we can do all things through who? Christ, who gives us what? But the way we think about that verse is, I can do all things through me because I have the strength. You say, well, Pastor Aaron, what do you mean by that? See, here's how I know we think that way. It's because if God is wanting us to do something and it sounds too big and it looks too big and it seems too big, then we come to the conclusion that I can't do that. Well, what that's saying is, you can do it if you have the strength. But you won't do it if you don't have the strength. When God's strength, it actually comes alive when we reach the point of weakness. Once you reach the point where you say, I cannot. In fact, listen to yourself. If you get to the point where you say, I just can't do this no more, thank God. Because in his strength, in our weakness, he's made strength. 2 Corinthians 12 says this. And finally, he said to me, my grace is enough to cover and sustain you. Watch this. My power is made perfect in your weakness. My power is made perfect in your what? In your weakness. And let me just say this. Whatever God's calling you to do and making you to do, it's going to take his power for you to do it. Which brings us now to point number three, because how do we get out of the comfort zone to grow into this faith zone? This is something that I said 2 weeks ago. Pastor Sharp said it last week. I'm going to reiterate it, but then I'm going to illustrate it. It said, here's the third point. What God makes and what God shapes will always take faith. Because if you don't have the right mindset, you will ask yourself the question, is changing worth this? So, how does faith work? Number one, faith is received when we hear the word of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Faith is expressed when we obey the word of God. In other words, faith without works is what? Okay, but that third step is, faith is manifested when we expect God to do his part. So, I ain't gonna show you what's under here yet. Faith is received when we what? Hear the word of God. So let's pretend that this Lego booklet is the Bible. Okay, well, I'm on the potter's wheel. He's trying to make me into what he needs me to be. But how do I know what he's doing? I have to read his word to figure that out. So watch this now. The word in our life is just like the instructions in this booklet. It's going to tell me, and it, watch this, it tells me part by part what I need to do to slowly, watch this, put my life together and slowly put me in the direction that God's called me to be. And so what we want overnight, this is what we want. We want overnight this. God, I want you to make me like this tomorrow. But it's not that. It's a step by step. So watch this. I did not know I was going to be a pastor until I first joined a church to teach me the word. Step number one. Then after I joined the church, the Lord says, I want you to be a preacher. That was step number two. I struggled with that one. I couldn't see this. I just saw this. Preach, oh my God. Then I started getting training. Then I had to go to a missions trip that the Lord wanted me to go to. And at the missions trip, the Lord revealed, I don't want you to just be a preacher now. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to see that I'm following the steps in his word. It says, submit to those who have authority over you, because my pastor said, hey, I think you should be at this school too. So I'm following, right? Here's the problem. The next step, which is, first step was hearing the word, we receive the word. Second step is faith is expressed when we obey the word. So now I just can't read this book and think my life is going to put itself together. There's a reason why he don't want me to date unsaved people. Amen. Do you know there's a reason why in a relationship God has it set up where certain things are the way they are? There's a reason why you are the parent and you're in charge of your children. I see on the internet these kids be cussing their parent out and slapping their parent, and I tell you what, I will be in prison and have a prison ministry preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with a record. But as I read this, it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my... There's my clock. Okay, there's a lamp. Okay, so now, watch this. Over time, everybody say over time. Over time, but not overnight. This is what my life should look like right here. So now, I'm riding and sharing the gospel. People wanted to say, how did you, because they knew this right here. They knew Fly. See, Fly was my nickname in high school. They knew Fly. I don't know what your nickname was, but they knew Polo. Right? Come on, give me some nicknames, what they call you. Who? What? What'd he say? Whiskey? Well, we know what that nickname means. We know what that means. See, they knew you like this. But this right here, this is the scripture manifestation that says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, they see your life, and they glorify God. See, they might be able to dispute the Bible, but they can't dispute your life. So let's close with, how do we activate or apply today's message? Number one, what are the areas in your life where you need to grow? Do you need to grow in how quick you respond to something? You know, you ain't hear good. They ain't finished the sentence and you done went off. What, three areas. Write them down. The top three. Don't do a laundry list because you're going to get discouraged. And don't ask your spouse to do it, because they're going to give you a whole steno tablet worth of stuff. What are three areas of your life that need to grow? Here's number two. List two things for each one of those areas that you need to do. And then number three, start and then restart until you are consistent. Because let me tell you what happens. You start and then you stop and then you feel bad. I'm saying start, and then if you stop, what do you need to do? Okay, if you say you're going to pray for 30 minutes and you don't do it on Monday and you do it on Tuesday and you don't do it on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, what do? Come on, church. You restart. You don't sit up there and let the devil be like, well, you ain't never prayed 30 minutes. How you think you're going to do that? No, restart. Everybody say restart. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, what areas in your life where you need to grow? What are those? Holy Spirit, only you can help us identify where we need to grow. And some of us have been functioning in some of these areas for so long, it almost seems impossible to grow beyond where we are today. But your word says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So Holy Spirit, take what has been said this morning and somehow in your own way make a deposit on the inside of us and help us be more dependent on you than we've ever been in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. With every head still bowed and every eye closed, if you died today, are you sure you